Ladies and gentlemen, my name for the record is Michael Tyler. I'm president of Citizens Coalition. I'm not sure Mr. Vincent or Mr. Wilson know about Citizens Coalition, so I'll just give you a little brochure that has information. I know you're aware of us, but I'll also give you our brochure.
Thank you, Michael.
Try to get us to join.
Mm-hmm. He wants $20. You got 20 in hand? Wake up to 25.
You've heard a lot of testimony tonight, a lot of technical stuff, and I don't envy you because of the information that you've gotten so far has probably got your head spinning. But this is probably more than just a technical thing that we're talking about. It's not an issue of following the law, even if it goes out the window. It's doing what's right. It's a people thing. Now, tonight I spoke with Louder Mitchell. Louder Mitchell owns the farm preservation land that is on the other side of the road, of Gills Neck Road. And Louder is definitely opposed to this development. As a farmer, he said he's going to keep it in farm preservation as long as he and his wife Jane are living. They're 7 years into their farm preservation, which means there's three more, but he said he could reapply and go on, and he will. He said as long as he and Jane are still living. I also spoke to a member of the board of directors of the YMCA, and they are very, very unhappy with this situation because it was not really brought before them in a right way. In fact, they're thinking of having a special meeting to discuss this particular situation, but they are not totally happy about this, and this comes from a board member.
I find that difficult to believe a man get mad because you give him 22 acres.
I think what it was is they didn't consider how they were being lured into this little trick, if you want to call it that, okay, to be part of this development that says, look, it's bait.
I have a feeling it's been in the works all along.
Well, it was a surprise at their last board meeting, and a couple people were incensed over it, believe me. It's interesting about where this Route 9 is, and according to Chapter 99, as you heard, Route 9 from its intersection with Delaware Route 1 to the southwesterly town limit, and if you look at what's your item of agenda here, and it talks about landlining at the southeast corner, so I don't know how the southeast can become the southwest, because it isn't. It's the southeast corner of Road 268 and Kings Highway and Gills Neck Road. If it was the southwesterly town limit of the town of Lewis, you couldn't have a southeast corner of a southwesterly limit. That's what it says here, southwesterly. And your agenda item talks about the southeasterly. Somebody isn't right, and I don't know who it is. If it's DelDOT.
That's where they got off on Route 9. That's where they messed up at.
We'll make note of that.
Yeah. All right.
Well,
this project would be
you just
the
have there's a conflict here of your directions. I know a lot of people say when they point to the bay that that's the east, but that's the north. Okay? In your mobility element, when you talk about arterials, it talks about a principal arterial, and this is on page... This is item 12.3, and it says, these roads provide an integrated network of routes that serve major activity in urban centers. They are the highest traffic volume corridors with typically long trip lengths. This road ends at at Freeman Highway and provide a link between the higher and lower classification roadways. Land access is not prohibited. A minor arterial, these routes interconnect other principal arterials and provide access to smaller developed areas. They also link cities and towns. That's what this Kings Highway does. I used to live on Kings Highway. And when I told the guests who were going to come at my bed and breakfast that I lived on Kings Highway, they said, a highway? I said, no, it's just the road that goes into Lewis. And that's what this is. Mr. Phillips and Council, I want to read my testimony here. Only one of you were on Council on September 27, 1994, when the County Council heard the public outcry about change of zone 1239 and I quote, "An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from AR1 Agricultural Residential District to a C1 General Commercial District for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth Hundred, Sussex County, containing 18 acres more or less," end quotes, filed on behalf of Tanger Properties LP. 15 years ago, representing Citizens Coalition, I stood before this council to plead our case that rezoning an additional 18 acres of land beyond the established 600-foot commercial zone established by former Planning and Zoning's Chairman Mills in the early 70s. This land was on the gateway to Lewis, and many of us believed it was a bad idea. Obviously, so did County Council, because the motion to rezone was denied 4-1. Today, the scene has changed, as has the cast. You're hearing a new application and a similar plea to deny a commercial site that consumes more acreage than the mere 18 acres when Tanger wanted to expand the commercial shopping center footprint to accommodate some 300,000 square feet. Today, however, little really seems to have changed. The Route 1 corridor has seen overwhelming commercial and retail explosion never envisioned by Mr. Mills. Furthermore, an increase in tourism has at times turned a veritable corridor connector road, King's Highway, into a linear parking lot. You know, I saw those little ants running around on those roads there, and I've come out of King's Highway coming out of town from where I live, and I've been stopped at that lighthouse, okay? At the lighthouse that's been put there by the ferry. And we crept along, and we waited at Gill's Neck Road, and then I waited for at least 3 turns of the light at Dartmouth Road to get onto Route 1. There were times where I just said, I'm not going to go there, and I turned back because the traffic was so bad. For the record, the application was denied in 1994 because, and this is on the record, no need was established. The application was not in compliance with the land use plan. Other sites were available in the C1 General Commercial District. Job opportunities were only speculative. Safety concerns were voiced, such as emergency access. There was inadequate infrastructure in the area, and the project would not enhance the site. Tonight, you're being asked to recommend something that has all the characteristics of that September 1994 CZ-1239, but is significantly worse. It's easy to understand how it will have serious negative effects on Lewis, the first town in the first state, and its historic legacy, unparalleled in Delaware, where people can see history firsthand in restored homes, historic buildings, and museums. You don't need a traffic counter to tell you the impact it will have on Cape Henlopen State Park, which is visited each year by more than 1 million nature and beach-loving residents and visitors. You won't have to wait at Monroe Avenue and Freeman Highway to watch more than 100 vehicles exiting the Cape May Lewis Ferry towards farther destinations. And you don't have to imagine the traffic generated by Cape Henlopen High School as its young drivers, teachers, and buses from September through June exit. Amid all this, you'll hope that an ambulance carrying a loved one, or even you, doesn't have to navigate bumper-to-bumper King's Highway traffic to get to Beebe Hospital while you're in cardiac arrest, or maybe because a loved one was a victim of a serious auto accident on Route 1. Now, I've heard arguments that say, well, they don't use King's Highway. They use Savannah Road. I'll tell you what they do, and I live just yards from King's Highway. If they see traffic backed up at the Dartmouth Road intersection, they can get off of Route 1 much faster by taking that deceleration lane and moving right on King's Highway. They do it all the time. And I hear the fire engines going out that way, and I hear them coming in that way. They don't all do it, but it's done. And for them to be backed up into traffic in that area would even be worse. In case you're wondering, some 60% of ambulance calls in Sussex County go to Beebe Hospital, 60%. To date, the Lewis Fire Department calls for EMS response in 2009, 1,726. Fire calls were 408, and there were 2,134 emergency calls. It's just the Lewis Fire Department. That's not Rehoboth, that's not Millsboro, That's none of the other ones that are in the surrounding area. If 1994 seemed too far back, let's look at 2003, when the county and state finally, after meeting for nearly 2 years, drafted the results of the State Route 1 Land Use Transportation Study. I served on that study. Let me get that for a minute. That's this study here that you invested money in, and so did DelDOT. I served on that study. After meeting for 2 years, I served on that study and State Route Land Transportation Study, and it was the third one that I had participated in since 1992. Its goals were straightforward: increase the mobility of area residents by developing alternative road links and connectors, provide a variety of ways to travel, reduce congestion, improve safety, maintain the character of the study area, and gain public acceptance of study recommendations. The study introduced an activity center concept, in quotes, which provides for limited commercial development. I'll repeat that: limited commercial development within a neighborhood setting. This could include such conveniences as a dry cleaner, deli, restaurant, a bakery, a video store, a hair salon, or any other small-scale businesses suitable for a neighborhood, end quotes. Further, the study goes on to say, and I quote, under the recommended land use scenario, as many as 4 activity centers could concentrate new development in the Lewis-Rehoboth Beach area. All 4 multi-use centers could be located west of SR1. Now, if you know your east and your west is on the other side of Route 1, not on the Lewis side. At the time, several members, including James Ippolito, then a councilman, represented the city of Lewis on the study group, and concerned about preserving the small town character of the town, was adamant that no such centers be located east of Route 1 near Lewis. He stated, "Lewis was already a town center. We don't need another one," end quote. Unfortunately, the time and money invested in this study has gone for naught. It seems to have been ignored by the county and even by the state. It is interesting that a total of some 2,000 homes, new and existing, may be situated on rural Gills Neck Road, along with Cadbury, with its many ambulance calls and visitors. The applicant says that farming has become difficult because of this development. They describe this parcel as an orphan farm. It's a new term, I have never heard that before, resulting from all the surrounding development. In legal terms, I would call this a prime example of a self-imposed hardship, orphaned conveniently by its owners. They're the ones who orphaned this farm, if you want to call it that. Louder Mitchell's farm is not an orphan farm. He tills that land, he grows soybeans, he grows corn, and he continues to do it on 66 acres. There's other farm areas that are nearby, too. There's a farm preservation area right near Westcott's Corner that the state has, and they farm that. And that's only maybe 30 acres or 40 acres. I don't know how small that farm is. Back to the Route 1 Land Use and Transportation Study. It also identified wellhead protection areas and excellent groundwater recharge areas as designated as critical areas in the state land use code by the Delaware Geological Survey. I haven't heard it said here tonight, but you may not be aware that such needed water recharge land constitutes only about 8% of all Sussex County. A large portion of that excellent recharge land lies on the Lingo Townsend site. The study states succinctly, and I quote, any proposed improvement must avoid or minimize adverse impacts to critical areas, end quote. Impervious surface of asphalt and buildings posing an imminent threat to wellhead protection and jeopardize water resources for Lewis and the entire area. In the face of unbridled development in Hokesson, where I lived some more than 30 years ago, I remember when the water supply simply stopped flowing from many of my neighbors' faucets because development had compromised water recharge in those living in higher locations. I fortunately lived in the valley. Stay up, George. I lived in the valley. We didn't lose water, but people on higher elevations actually turned their faucets on and got hardly any water. In fact, sinkholes started occurring where they had done water drawdown. No water, no people. We cannot afford to continue to cover critical or even good recharge land and expect the water supply to continue as if nothing occurred. Here's yet another fact that should weigh heavily on our reason to deny this application. The Villages of Five Points lies exactly 1 mile from the proposed Clay Road entrance to this site. 1 mile. The shops, restaurant, and supermarket already there more than adequately serve local and regional customers. I talked to Ralph Reed the other night, and I said, you know, Ralph, if you just made Clay Road bicycle pedestrian friendly, people could walk from the Governor's or from any of those places and get right over to that supermarket. He said, yeah, we could do that, but they don't have any money. What benefit would another commercial hub bring to the community? Answer, none. If you add the cumulative traffic impact of the Villages of Five Points with the already approved vineyards on Route 9, the housing slated for Gills Neck Road, and on other roads serving Lewis, how much more commercial and residential traffic gridlock do we need to tell us that this site is ill-advised? The area is already on commercial overload. This site cannot serve the community, and it represents superfluous development to appease the developer who is ignoring the cumulative impact this development will have on neighboring communities. The traffic issue is many-fold. It creates air pollution, an affront to health. It reduces our quality of life, a threat to welfare. And it creates dangerous driving conditions. It compromises safety. A large commercial complex in this area runs counter to good planning and the long-range vision for the well-being of the residents of Sussex County. Also, I wonder about the millions the applicant says will be spent widening Kings Highway and improving Gills Neck Road. It's obvious to you, and I think I heard it tonight, that this estimated largesse lies in the value of the land the applicant will be dedicating for right-of-way. We taxpayers will still have to bear the load after all is said and done. This is not only a Lewis issue. This is an issue for all of us who live in the state, who live in the county. In a talk entitled Posing the Challenge of Creating a Livable Delaware, given at the University of Delaware's Clayton Hall in March of 2008, Sussex County native and Court of Chancery Judge William Chandler III, lamenting over the wave of development plaguing his home county, said, and I quote, "Eventually Delaware will become so overdeveloped, so overcrowded, and so downright ugly that no one will want to move here anymore. In addition to being a so-called business court, however, the Court of Chancery is first and foremost a court of equity, and courts of equity are in the business of preventing irreparable harm. What I'm suggesting to you is that allowing Delaware to spiral into an overdeveloped mess would inflict irreparable harm on the state. Even if overdevelopment ultimately kills demand, it will also kill much of what makes Delaware so special. We cannot let this happen. What will become of Delaware when the last of its slow-paced charmed is overwhelmed by outlet malls, fast food restaurants, and six-lane highways?" End of quote. Another expert, another person, land use planner Ed McMahon put it succinctly, "We have a choice the way we grow. Unfortunately, many people think we only have two choices, growth versus no growth. Coalition has never said that. As you saw in the brochure, we stand for sustainable development, managed growth, and responsible land use. And we've been very objective in our presentations. The first choice, they believe, is to buy land and lock it up forever in a park or preserve. The second is to allow ugly, unfettered, environmentally destructive, anything-goes development right next door. But these are not the only choices. We have a third choice. We can have growth and development that respects the character of a place and complements the quality of the landscape. Development can and is being planned with a new awareness of economic and social values of open space, historic sites, scenic views, native plants, and animals and riverfronts, and towns like Lewis, I might add." End of quote. This rezoning threatens the special character of coastal Sussex. Historic Lewis, Cape Henlopen State Park, the Cape May Lewis Ferry, and the people living in surrounding developments on Lewis's fringes. It will add nothing to the area that isn't already available on Route 1's commercial corridor. It will only have a minimal effect on influencing an increase in bicycle and pedestrian activity. And further, it will foster heavy truck traffic and add the already burdensome cumulative effect on traffic that no road widening will change from level of service F. As I once testified in this room, it will only get effer. Let the applicant develop the site as zoned. we ask that you deny this application. Now, even in the comprehensive plan, it talks about trucking. And on section 1210, it says, while trucks play a crucial role in commerce, it is widely held that the dominance of trucks for goods movement has several negative effects, including perceived increased safety hazards to other motorists and increased highway congestion and pollution. Truck traffic is of particularly, that's a typo, particularly concern, is of particular concern to traditional activities centers such as Georgetown, Lewis, Milton, and Laurel. Large trucks can impede the smooth flow of traffic through towns and threaten residential viability of small and small town character of these areas. No large shopping center, whatever it is, regional, whatever, is not going to have truck traffic. And you have it right in here in your plan that say that's a bad thing. And if you can prevent it, you have an opportunity to do so. I will give my testimony to Vince.
I'll make sure it's part of the record because it's a little different than what's in the book.
Yes. Yeah. I asked earlier where the traffic was going to come from and the people. Well, you just answered it. You said there's already over 1 million people that goes to state parks. The traffic's already there.
We call it cumulative impact. So they're just going to be adding to what's already there. I've seen the park close at least twice this year. Yeah. In other words, they couldn't put any more cars in because there was no place to park. And we went to the beach once this year, and it was almost a mistake because we couldn't even find the sand. There were so many people. But, you know, we as locals try to, this is our time right now. This is when we go to the beach. But there were at least twice, and there might have been three times that the park was closed. And you know, there's a lot of traffic already.
I've lived here over 70 years.
Well, you're older than I am.
And I don't even bother to go to Rope. Because the tourist trade and everything else, Route 1, we're stopped. But I got to be honest in here, where is this traffic coming from? See, the traffic is there. The only thing you said, we're going to have to add six-lane highway to help this situation we're into, maybe.
It would be a six-lane parking lot.
I mean, that's what you're saying. I doubt if six-lane would be needed to take care of this structure. I think we need to be, you know, realistic here in what we're saying. You're also saying that if someone neighbor to you puts in preservation land, the state, that entitles the next person to him. He has any right to his land unless he stays in farming because his neighbor to him had preservation land.
I don't
agree with that philosophy.
I don't follow that.
Although I'm a farmer, been that way for I tilled 300 acres. But I think if my neighbor should put in his land in preservation.
You don't have
or
to.
Or if I put in, yeah, but you used that as a reference point. You said because Latter Mitchell had put his land in preservation, that you don't feel these people have the right to.
No, I never said that.
Well,
no, I never said
it,
that.
Sir.
No, I said they orphaned the land, and that was the self-imposed hardship.
Okay.
They're the one who made the claim, Mr. Wilson.
I got what you
said. I didn't say that.
I understood what you said.
No, I told you that Mr. Mitchell was opposed to this development.
I understood.
And I didn't say it
and
because he had.
It was in preservation.
It is in preservation.
Hey, that's what I'm saying.
But it doesn't mean he has to, everybody else's neighbor has to be in preservation.
Okay.
I certainly would never say that because I believe that the developer has a right to his property.
Absolutely.
Okay, but the right is AR1. He can do 2 units per acre. That's his right.
And I feel if you had put half the effort in trying to buy this piece of land, what? So you could have controlled it.
I don't care to control
it. That's a hard thing to do.
No, if the developer could honor the characteristic of the community, he wouldn't come in with that kind of development. And I don't want to have an argument here with you, but you're not understanding what I said.
I understand what you said very well.
Citizens Coalition has been very objective as far as land use and property rights, and we've never talked about anyone's property like that.
Okay, we said no.
Okay, any other questions? All right, thank you very much.
I'd like to call my final witness, Mr. Matico.
All right.
Mr. Who?
Matico.
Mm.
I'm John Mateko of Lewis. I think we've probably heard most of the aspects of this thing. Let me just try to pull it together at this very late hour. This is about people and land and history. Like Mr. Wilson, you were saying, what we're seeing in Lewis and what the traffic fellow was trying to show is we know that those intersections, we don't need these guys, to be honest. I know what that intersection is like, and you may know it too. You've gone fishing over there in the morning, in July and August, 10, 11 o'clock, when some of the boats are coming out and others are still going in late, trying to get out on Front Street at Savannah Road. That's a mess. And what this Lenhart was showing you about how at King's Highway it comes in there, you know how you have to wait on a Saturday. What the numbers are saying is you have to make a decision here. Should this land be rezoned to put a major shopping center, which is going to put traffic, additional traffic, on top of the traffic that's already come from the 1,500, 2,000 houses that are already in the pipeline? That's done. It was done for the applicant. He's effectively used up the carrying capacity of the roads. That's what both of these traffic engineers are telling you. They're only so big. Unless somebody in this room is proposing we get a big bulldozer and bulldoze the houses along King's Highway to make the road wider, the road is fixed. The bottom line of this whole thing, we're at midnight, too many cars, too small a road. It won't fit. It won't fit. That's the whole thing. That's what you're getting, all these letters. It's all these signs all over the place in Lewis. People, we know that. Just like you know your land, Mr. Wilson. We feel that we're going to wind up in Saturday mornings, or every morning, seeing dozens and dozens of cars coming over our lane. Think how you feel if where you grow beans and corn. There's just people just driving all their cars right through. This is our community. You go to the Sussex County Council. Say, look, you had that SR1 study. I think it was $400,000, right? About 100 people involved in that thing. Went on a couple of years. Got everybody together, and everybody said, look, no more big shopping centers. They don't fit. The little communities over there, the roads, can't take it. Keep them out on Highway 1 or to the west. I'll try and hold still for you. I may have to go to sleep if I do that.
Make sure your eyes are open.
Look, what you're hearing, to pull this together, up there in your packets, you have the letter from the National Trust. You have the letter, that's the Washington crowd, that talks about Lewis is a distinctive national destination. You have the letter from our own Lewis Historical Society. They sent you that. If you don't, you're going to have it in my testimony. I'll submit it. They're saying the same thing. Please, please don't do this. People were sending you postcards. Here's one from Judy Goez in Rehoboth. Please preserve Lewis as it is. The first town in the first state should be the last to have a shopping center. What BB Hospital is telling you, the doctors can't get through. That's right now. When new doctors come on to BB, the other doctors will tell them, come on, let's go out to lunch. One of the things I tell you, when you get a house, if you have a specialty where you have to get there, don't get a house where you have to use Route 1, because you may not be able to get there reliably. What BB is telling you, in their official language, is don't do this. 60% of the ambulances go there. They have increased their emergency service, and they have the statistics in their letter, they're showing you this. In the last 9 years, 58%. It's not going to stop. It's going to keep going. That's what you were supposed to receive from Connie Holland's office, and you didn't. I talked to Connie today. I said, Connie, I haven't been feeling good about how this came about, and I want to be clear. What authority do you have to hold the applicant accountable? She says, we have no authority. We simply use the authority of the Sussex County Ordinance. And here it is. And this is what was supposed to come to you. And Connie's office was supposed to make sure that the applicant didn't waste your time and everybody's time until they had complied with the ordinance. Simple language. And it's not one person reading it one way or another person. It's this 115-194.3 ES1, the Environmentally Sensitive Development District Overlay. B2D, that's the one I want to focus on. Others have been talking about others. Simple language, analysis of the increase in traffic and the effect on the surrounding roadway system. Surrounding roadway system is common parlance in planning and traffic engineering circles. It has an understood meaning. It means all the intersections within a mile, 2 miles of the site. That's what that means. It's all over the country. This is not something strange in your code. It's a very good code, actually. I thought the code at one point was weak. It's very good. It's just that for some reason it's got established that you don't have to actually do what it says. Nobody came in and did the effect on the surrounding roadway system. You only hear that from this side of the room. What about this side of the room? And it goes not only, think about this, not only for traffic, everything they've done. They used up their time talking about their proposal. What the law required, your law, this is what your law required of them. And they should have in their packet before they get to this point, so they're not wasting everyone's time with something that's preposterous. You know, 50 pounds of flour in a 5-pound sack is what they're trying to do here. Right? That's what's happening. It didn't have to go this far. They were supposed to fill this out. Connie Holland's office was supposed to make sure it was done before it got through to here. And so you can say, sure, there's no problem. It's because they didn't say anything that caused the problem. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Beebe's telling you there's a problem. Historic people are telling you there's a problem. You're going to hear, if everyone hasn't fallen asleep here, you know, at this, you're going to hear from business people. I make my living with the quality of that we have in Lewis. And I don't think you doubt that a regional shopping center is going to change that. Mr. Wilson, it would be like people started driving over your field every Saturday.
If they bought it, they can drive there.
Here's the question. Would you sit on the county council and say, I have to make a decision for rezoning to allow them to do it? That's the question. That's the question. Would you give them the rezoning to allow them to drive on your field every Saturday? I think I know what that answer is, and that's what we're asking you to do. Just preserve our jobs, which are based on the historic character. That's what fills our hotel rooms, our shops, our stores. I don't say that. In this packet, there's all this stuff from the Chamber of Commerce. I got it yesterday, including your own Sussex County tourism brochure. It says it. That's a cash cow for Sussex County, for all of Delaware. It's the craziest thing I ever heard. And you know that. People come from all over here to spend their money. It's the perfect industry. They leave with their problems, but their wallet's empty. What's wrong with that?
Try to keep moving out. It's getting late.
I know. The point has been made that Lewis doesn't need this. We need something 20 to 40,000 square feet. And a village center, as the name implies, would be in the middle, the center of the development. What would be useful to keep those people in senators and governors, and we have said this for the last year, and we always say this, is something, real neighborhood shopping, which is what the code requires, suggests. That's what smart growth is all about. That's what livable Delaware is trying to get to. But if nobody enforces what sort of looks the other way, you're not going to have it. 20 to 40,000 square feet shopping would really be useful, and people can go to the store and get a little thing like Lloyd's. Yeah, that's our little supermarket there, and those various things they wouldn't have to. We don't need 320,000 square feet. Some people may be thinking jobs are going to come out of this. They are going to come out of this, but they're not going to be very many in Sussex County. I'm sorry, I'm an architect. This long span steel framing, we don't have enough of it. Just like the new high school went to Edis, these jobs are going to be filled by people upstate or out of state, because we just don't have enough of that type of contracting scale here. Doesn't fit the community, doesn't fit the contracting either, by definition. So that's not much of an argument. These jobs that they're promising us, minimum wage, seasonal, part-time, no benefits. The jobs that you're going to drive out are independent business people who have unique things to sell. That money stays in Sussex County. These franchises goes to the franchise owner right back to New York or wherever the corporate headquarters are, or the stock owners. It goes out of Sussex County. It's not a good deal to put the shopkeepers on Second Street out of business and substitute franchises. I'm going to submit this.
Thank you. Any questions for Matiko? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That concludes our formal presentation.
Mr. Matiko, just before he sits down, I want to make sure he submits that. Just didn't want you to walk away without submitting.
Yeah.
Just hand it over.
Thank you, John.
And again, similar to what Mr. Schrader said at the closing of the applicant's case, this is a rezoning decision.
Same thing again.
And a rezoning decision says the county has determined that the present health, safety, and welfare of the county is protected by this land being zoned AR1. The burden of proof on the applicant is to show that the applicant has established that the public health, safety, and welfare of the county is enhanced by the rezoning. And the only thing I can see that the applicant's proven or established is that it would be economically beneficial to the applicant to have this rezoning granted, but that there will not be any benefits to the general county. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else here this evening representing an organized group or organization, I suppose? I don't see any hands, although I can't see around that one big thing. That being the case, then we'll call on individuals who wish to speak in opposition.
Ms. Jackson, come on up and